Now look back at James and see why this is so important. James writes, after he tells you who he is and who he's not, and what he doesn't depend on in his identity, he says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The church of Christ immediately faced difficulty and persecution. The people who killed Jesus are the same people who will kill the followers of the resurrected Christ. So the believers and followers of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, are dispersed throughout the world since the martyrdom of Stephen. Do you remember when they killed Stephen and Saul was there and he approved of the murder? It says there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. James is writing to the scattered followers of Jesus Christ. The church is persecuted at its inception. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. This is lovely and fetching. And again, you won't find it in your recruiting brochures for the Christian everything. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Would you like to join the church? Hey, kids, welcome to the youth work. When Christ calls a person, he bids him come and die. Come on in. It's just not there. It's not part of the message. But it is part of the truth. It's what eventually has to be said, because when we're not walking with God, the enemy of God has no problem. He's already got us. But when we're walking with God, we have to be stopped, either that we don't walk with God anymore or that we don't become so convinced of the reality of this that we go around telling other people and empty the prison of all the people who need to know this stuff. The enemy of God does not persecute people who don't threaten him. And he is set against and strategizes against people who are on board. This is a fact. So I understand that in our youth work, we don't say, come on, come and die, kids. We say, you guys need to know the truth about God. Come on in. We'll distract you and we'll entertain your weak brains until you strengthen up and to understand the things about God. I don't mean that young people are weak-brained. I mean, you know what I mean. Because they don't see the world as clearly as everybody living in it. But often they see the world more clearly than we who are mired in it. And they're intelligent because they're figuring out the whole world and how it works. But people who don't know God, don't know about God, and our minds with regard to things about Christ are weak. So that's why I said it the way that I said it. Did I recover from that a little bit? I'm looking at our youth development worker to see if she approves. Okay, good. We don't do a good job at keeping this truth in the Christianity brochures. We like peace and comfort. These are true elements of the Christian life in the midst of trials. But one could say that trials are not good copy for the recruitment brochures. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't think it's bait and switch either. Hi, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Get them. It's just the reality that you need to know that persecution is part of the deal. You need to know that trials are actually on purpose because they're good for you. And that sounds strange. Count it all joy when you face trials. It sounds like happy clappy people, doesn't it? Oh, praise the Lord, I'm late in my mortgage payment again. You know, that's goofy. But I am late in my mortgage payment again. God, you have to help. You know what my needs are. I am not in a place of willful disobedience. This is the time. Your word says that you provide. God, please. And I am going to rely on you. And I could be stressful and give myself a heart attack right now. But I'm going to breathe and I'm depending on you. God, give me wisdom about what to do, or help someone help me. please God. And then when God comes through in circumstances that you cannot explain, and things do amazingly work out, whether your house got repossessed, but then something happened after, or whether someone showed up and said, "Hey, I'm your Uncle Frank you didn't know about, and I've got a mortgage payment for you." I've heard both stories. God is working all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And when we look in the scriptures here, we see trials are useful. So if we say trials are not good copy for recruitment brochures, James does not agree. James, the lowly servant of Jesus, not the brother who knew him best, James, writing to the scattered church, which is persecuted, he opens with this reality. And we do well to stop and to drink deep of this truth. Look at verse 2 of James chapter 1. "Count it all joy, brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So that's the English Standard Version. Look at what it says, or listen to what it says. I'll read you four translations of the same sentence, right? "You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," English Standard Version. "You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow," New Living Translation. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance," the New American Standard. "And knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience," is King James. Produces, has a chance to grow, and worketh is the stuff that's happening. And then steadfastness, endurance, and patience is the descriptions of the same word in the English language. And so steadfast, right? Who was walking around in the wind yesterday? Did you let the wind blow you down the street? Or did you walk into the wind? And if you were standing still and that wind wanted to blow you down like your neighbor's fence, did you let it? No, you were steadfast. And if you're walking somewhere and you got to get there and the wind is against you, if you're like me, I don't know why the wind blows against me on the way to Tilly on the path and on the way back to Alva on the path, it's the wind in my face. And endurance is, I'm going to get there. I live there. I have to get home. I can't stop now. Endurance. And patience? It's right that someone once interpreted that as patience. Because what are you doing? You're waiting for it to end. And Chris, every time we talked about the word patience in Love Works, he said, you know, in King James, it's long-suffering. And he was right. And it is. And patience, when you can't stand what you're waiting for, it is long-suffering. And these are the things. And then in these two translations, in these four translations, you get this interesting thing. All of them say testing of your faith. When your faith is tested, testing of your faith, trying of your faith. That's consistent. That's what's happening to you. That's where I'm at. This is the deal. And you need to know this. From verse 4, so you look down. It says, "Let steadfastness have its full effect. Let endurance have its full effect. Let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete and lacking nothing." Perfect. Now, for me, perfect means straight A's. For me, perfect means 100%. For me, perfect means this bit of a beard that I'm growing would actually grow in all the places, right? Perfect means that my face would never have a blemish when I wake up. Perfect would be everybody doing what I want and me not having to work through the syrup of a world full of other people who think differently. But that's not what this perfect means. This perfect is the word teleos. Anybody ever play with a telescope? when you were a kid, and where the far-off thing was made very close to your eye because you stretched out the handle there. Teleos. So teleos means brought to its end, finished. Teleos means wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Teleos means already there. It's consummate human integrity and virtue. Like, in the spot. And it's said of men, full grown, adult, full age. So like mature, teleos. Oh, look at you, you're all grown up. Right? Teleos. So when the scripture tells us that your faith is going to be shown what it's made of, and that you will be complete when it's done, that's something to work toward. That's something to embrace. And as it's happening, that means that you're getting there, and there's a reason for joy in the midst of it. And it isn't just whistling in the dark so you're not scared, and it isn't just smiling through gritted teeth, and it isn't laughing so you don't cry for crying out loud. Trials grow us up. And God, who loves you, wants you finished. Nobody likes pottery that hasn't been fired in a kiln. It'll melt in your dishwasher. Trials prove that we are stuck in. Suffering shows heaven and earth what metal God has made you of. As you struggle, you show that you're stuck in. God knows what you can handle with his help. If your faith is on the basis of what God gives you, when temporal circumstances change, so will your faith. If your faith is in what God has done in Christ, if you are bearing witness to how God has made you as you walk in faith in the risen Christ, nothing can touch that faith. And trials only prove it. Trials prove. It's not a test to see if you pass. Oh, sorry, you got a C. That's not it. Testing, trials, they're proving what you're made of. God said to Satan about Job, have you considered my servant? Oh, Job's a good one. He sicked the devil on Job because he knew what Job was made of, and he knew that nothing would overcome. And God is demonstrating to heaven and all the earth through his followers what faith is, so that anybody who will follow God can have faith. I'll close with this. I'm done. That's it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 says this. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is why, Lord, we pray to you now. And we say, in the midst of trials, and we all have them, and nobody's done, everybody's in process, in the midst of our trials, we will not compare to others. Why me? Why now? Why in this way? We want to agree that if we face trials, it's because it is your special recipe for growing us to completeness, and help us to look into it and to lean into it and to endure, to persevere, and that we might know some satisfaction as we face it, that God is growing me into completeness through this. God, I want to be the grown-up version of me that you ordained from all creation, and I want to be on the other end of this trial. Please be with me. If that's our prayer in this room, can I hear an amen? Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.